NUE with KB0KBJ in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Well, Steve, we've had some rolling brownouts with power, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago when it got so cold, and the local power company sent out some, you know, notifications and advisories letting everybody know about that. And then I guess been about 3 weeks, maybe a month ago, a certain portion of Greenville County had a power outage for hours. I can't remember how many hours it was, but Anna's sister lives over that way, and she dropped out for a while and came over here. We got a wood stove in the house, and we keep things kind of warm with that. You know, you cut firewood, I think Abraham Lincoln said, you know, whoever cuts firewood warms himself twice. So he's exactly right. It's work, but I tell you, with the price of propane, you know, I'll run a chainsaw and log splitter all day long, because a propane company came out here the other day, and well, I didn't like that bill. But you know, it is what it is. It's not much you can do about it, but just throw more wood in the stove, right?
Yeah. What? How much are you paying for propane?
Sure, I'll go in there and see what it is per gallon. I just looked at the total bill. Didn't do any math, but I'll check and find out. I'm sure you can Google it, but I'm say it's over $5 a gallon, I'd say, or pound, however they do that. But it's almost doubled from last winter. And I just, you know, well, I don't know. There's nothing you can do about it. You gotta have propane. We gotta run the range, and we got a tankless hot water heater that runs on propane. So I mean, you gotta do it. I mean, that's all you can do.
Yeah, propane's the only thing that hasn't gone up around here, James. Natural gas has. And, yeah, $5 a gallon, that would be kind of steep. They got, what is it? 4.3 pounds per gallon, I think, is how it's weighed. It's always confusing, because, you know, you fill up your 20-pound tank, or your, you know, all the way up to a 100-pound tank, and they charge you by that. Or you got your 500 or 1,000-pound, or is it a gallon? I don't know. Anyhow, they seem to monkey with the numbers a lot. I don't use, I have natural gas at my place. So, but yeah, talking about going up to Alaska, that reminds me, I've been watching various newscasts around the country, and you know, watch down there, I'll watch other areas, Hawaii, Alaska. You know, when that big old cold front came through here, I don't know, beginning of the month or something, we got a storm. Yeah. It was like covered by every TV station in the country. I mean, everybody had it. Even Hawaii covered it. You know, where their big change is like, oh, a little bit of wind. Yeah, it'll vary another 3 degrees or 2 degrees, and we're gonna have a breeze from this way versus that way. That's about the extent of change down there, you know. So they even covered it. You know, I found interesting, the only station that did not cover it was Fairbanks, Alaska. They were sitting at 40 below for a high. And they had their biggest thing at that time, that was the beginning of the month, like I said. You know, our little storm down here, it didn't really, yeah, it was nothing for them. They didn't even cover it. The only thing they were interested in was, how much longer is this, you know, days of getting? And, There was a young weather guy and an older news lady, and at the end of the newscast, the young guy's like, and that was what he was covering at the end of the newscast. And he's like, so we're going to be experiencing, 3-4 more minutes. You know, they were running about 3.5 hours worth of daylight day at that time, you know. And he's like, so we're going to have about 3 more minutes of daylight tomorrow versus today. And then in a few months, I think about in April, he's like, we're going to have hours and hours of sunlight, and it's just going to be sun up all the time. I think it pretty much is, too. Starting about in May, June, middle of April, looking at that after he said that, middle of April, May, June, July, and finally it starts getting dark about in the middle of August. When it's, you know, some point at night, it's actually darkish. And the older lady, she says, when he was telling about the increase in daylight, she's like, I can't wait for that day. I can't wait for that day. Almost like, you know, so she had the same tone as like you might have if looking forward to the second coming of Christ or something. You know, she was she was really looking forward to it.
This is KO4NUE with KB0KBJ. Well, when you're cold all the time and don't have any daylight, that's kind of a struggle. It wasn't long ago I was watching a documentary on Antarctica, and one of the scientific stations up there that's doing research up there. I think they stay up there like 6 months at a time or something, and they have the scientists up there go, and so many hours a day they have to sit under a special light that gives them, you know, vitamin D or vitamin A or something like that to keep, you know, keep their, said it contributes to mental health. But I thought that was kind of interesting. When I was in Alaska for a short time, had a little bit of daylight, or maybe it's the other way around. I can't quite remember, but you know, you start messing with the sun and the circadian rhythm. That messes with everything. You know, you can't sleep right, and I just couldn't adjust. It's just, I don't think you realize how dependent you are, your body is, on what the sun does. But I learned my lesson with that. I just, anytime I go somewhere where the time change is off, it just, you know, it takes me a while to recover.
Yeah, KO4NUE, KB0KBJ. Yeah, I've never experienced it. My mom, she's been to Finland in the middle of summer, and, you know, you get tied to your clock and your schedule, and she was on vacation, but people, you know, you get tied to your clock and the time to go to bed. And so she was visiting folks up there, and they said, hey, let's go do such and such. And she's like, but it's 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock at night, you know. And they said, so it's still light out. We don't sleep in the summer. We do that in the winter up here. So they went and did whatever they did. I had another guy, I was talking to him, a ham radio fellow in Nome, and they're not above the Arctic Circle, but they still get a lot of light. He said you just kind of forget about, you know, time. You just, there's light all the time. And one day he decided to go visit a buddy, and he walked over and knocked on the door, and nobody came to the door. Knocked on it again, nobody's still there, standing there wondering what the deal is. And he thought, mate, wonder what time it is. And he looked at his clock, and it was 1 o'clock in the morning. He's like, oh. So I suppose he slunk off as fast as he could.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, well, how's the maple syrup going this year? Is it time for that? Or I think last time I talked with you or listened in, You were talking about maple syrup. What's going on up there with that?
No maple syrup yet. That'll be when the trees start waking up and thawing out, getting ready to bud. So probably a couple more months, mid-March, yeah, maybe a month and a half. Got to start getting ready for it if I'm going to do it. And I was just up to Upper Michigan and visited my cousin who does the syruping on a little bigger scale than I do. He's got a lot bigger, put it that way. I'm seriously understating it. I'll tell you, this is kind of funny. A few years back when I decided to get back into this, you know, I had my four little trees and such, and I called him up, and I said, "Ben, this is so much fun. I haven't done this since I've been a kid." He's like, "All right." You know, and I'm just crowing about how much I'm getting and all this stuff. "It's just pumping out, man. It's just coming." And he's like, "Yeah, right on, man. You go." And then I get all done crowing about my little setup. And I said, "So how's it going there?" He's like, "Well, first it was too cold. Now it's too warm. But we did boil off one batch already." You know, for me, a batch is like, yeah, 30, 40 gallons of sap. You know, might get a gallon of syrup. And I'm like, "Oh, so how much did you boil off?" He's like, "Oh, about 1,500 gallons. Well, that was RO down from 7,000. I'm like, "Oh, yeah. You got a few trees, huh?"
It's got to be a lot of work. I don't know how he's moving all that to the processing plant or whatever he's got, but my goodness, I can't imagine that. What's a gallon sell for up there?
Yeah, he's got a whole 60 acres, well, I think about 40 acres of trees. He's got tapped, and he rents some off the neighbor down the road. He's got to truck that up in a big, you know, tank in the back of his truck. But all his land is sloping, so it slopes down, runs downhill to a pump pit where it pumps it up to a 10,000-gallon tank or whatever, however large it is. I'm sure it must be that big at least. Where he then boils it, you know, in a huge 25-foot-long, 5-foot-wide boiler jobber that just rolls the steam. It gobbles like a quart of wood an hour or something. he was selling it for $54 a gallon.
I guess that's profitable, and I'm sure it's a lot of work though. But hey, you know, got to do something to earn some extra cash, I guess. But Stephen, ask you for a last call if that's okay. I'm starting to show my tired a little bit. I had a long day here, and I'm starting to wind down just a little bit. You go ahead if you don't mind, and give me your final, and I'm going to move on down the log, try to get the net shut down for tonight. It's nice hearing from you, though, and I hope you stay safe up there and get, you know, try to get through the winter and all. But go ahead and give me your final if you don't mind, sir, and I'm gonna move on down and shut down for.
Yep, sounds good, Chad. Yeah, well, he does it more than just a little extra cash. That's half of his income. The other half is strawberry plants. And then he does raise chickens and turkeys. I thought maple syruping, you know, as much as he's moving. I mean, he's selling it in stores, and he's selling it to other companies who sell it. And he says, well, maple syrup's about as good as strawberries, but strawberries are still better, which surprised me. He said, then I got turkeys and chickens. He said, those just get you and the family out for McDonald's meal, you know. That's about all they amount to as far as profit. But he does have about a dozen kids, so it must provide, He had a good, stable factory job and everything. He just couldn't handle it. He had to go do something on his own out in the woods, and there he did. All right, Chad, have a good one. KO4NUE, KB0KBJ.
KB0KBJ, KO4NUE. Good evening, sir. And I tell the missus and the kids we said hello, and you stay warm up there. And Steve, and you be careful. This is KO4NUE, 73's to you, sir. Are there any additional stations, Alpha through Zulu, that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Please call KO4NUE.
K4ROW. No traffic, no roundtable. Good evening.
Calling station K4ROW. Can I have your name and call name and location, sir?
Name here is Richard, and I'm in Greenville.
Welcome to the net, sir. K4ROW, Mr. Richard down in Greenville. Hope you're doing well tonight, sir. All right, we'll move on down the log. Next on the stump is N4DME, Mr. Paul down in Tekoa. How are you tonight, Paul? I heard. We'll take that as that's all we got. Are there any additional stations that I may have missed for racked you or comments? Please call KO4NUE. Let's stand by for my net report. That's it for tonight. I appreciate everybody checking in with us. I'll now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73s to all, and everybody have a wonderful day tomorrow. This is KO4NUE, and I am clear.